In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is born. In this morning's reading from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he tells his audience, he tells us, that when he encountered Christ, his life radically changed. Paul, zealous for the law, zealous for the traditions of Israel, radically changes and sees that the law cannot save him. The law cannot give him life. On the contrary, the law can only lead him to death. And therefore, in Christ, he undergoes a radical change. He moves from being a defender of the law to defender of Christ. He moves from seeing the law as an end in itself to seeing Christ as the end and therefore the one from whom and through whom life is given to him and to all who shall draw near to him in faith and in love. In celebrating this feast of the Lord's Nativity, we encounter, if we truly enter the mystery of this feast, if we truly enter the mystery of Christ's birth, if we indeed allow our minds and our hearts to give birth to Christ within us, we too will experience a radical change in life, a radical change in how we think, in how we speak, in how we act, in how we relate to one another. As we celebrate this feast, this point, this lesson of radical change is fundamental to us. But there is something else also that is foundational to the celebration of this feast. This is the feast of light, a light that is brighter than the light that is coming through the windows and is causing me some difficulty. It is a light that is uncreated. It is a light that is divine. It is a light that gives life, eternal life, to anyone who will be enveloped by it. In or around this light, there is great darkness. And we hear about this darkness in the response of Herod to the news of Christ's birth. What is his response?
Rage.
Rage that leads to?
Murder.
Murder of whom?
Children.
Now, we have heard about the murder of children these last few weeks in our own time, close to us, geographically, at the very least. Surrounding this feast of light is darkness. The darkness that comes from a response to the birth of Jesus. A response to the birth of the one who is life and light. Now we have to ask ourselves, what is the cause of this rage, of this murder?
Fear.
And where does this fear come from? By the way, it's a very interesting response. Here we have a child born in a cavern and laying in a manger. No defenses, totally vulnerable. And yet this vulnerability frightens Herod. And if you want to hear more about how Herod is frightened, I would recommend that you read through, even though it may not be easily available, but if you're interested, I will get it for you. The Kontakion of St. Romanos, the hymnographer, who has dedicated an entire Kontakion to the slaughter of the innocents. Christ is without defense, is without power. And yet, this vulnerability frightens Herod. What else can we say? What else motivates Herod?
Envy.
Envy? And anything else?
Love
for
power.
I want us to think.
Love for power.
Love for power? Anything else? All these are the correct answers, but I want us to get to the root. The root of Herod's response is freedom. Freedom. Where does freedom come from?
From God.
Where does freedom come from?
God.
Freedom comes from God. And we, as Orthodox Christians, we have to now reflect on the power of freedom. Freedom that is given to us by God, so that indeed our drawing near to Him, our entering into the uncreated divine light, our desiring to be enveloped by light and life is an act of love. An act of love that comes from being free, by being given a choice. Now we have to think that when God gives us freedom, it can be used in two ways. It can be used for drawing near to Him or moving away from Him. And here we see in this event of incarnation, in this event of the birth of our Lord, light and darkness, all stemming from freedom, both stemming from making a choice. In this feast of incarnation, we already have before us Golgotha. Golgotha is already making itself known, making itself visible in this feast of the Lord's incarnation. Golgotha is revealed in the slaughter of the innocents. Golgotha is revealed in our Lord going into exile, into Egypt. Golgotha is revealed in the vulnerability of the child who holds the world in his hand, this child who lies in a manger. But Golgotha, or the prelude to Golgotha, is not only in this feast. The prelude to Golgotha comes from the very beginning, the creation of the human being endowed with freedom. And here we have to think again very deeply the cost of freedom. Vladimir Rosky, one of the great Orthodox theologians of the 20th century, speaks about the freedom that comes from God, given to us, given to humanity, this freedom as a sign simultaneously of God's power and also God's powerlessness. Indeed, if we are free, God renders Himself in a most mysterious way to a position of powerlessness. Why? Couldn't be free otherwise. God would be a tyrant. God would be a puppeteer. And therefore, listen to what Vladimir Rosky says. The peak of all powerfulness, the peak of all powerfulness shown by God, given to us in freedom, is received in giving this freedom to us. It is also received as a powerlessness of God, as a divine risk. God loves us so much. God endows us with this great power of freedom.
using human language, using or taking a risk. Know from all eternity that as he creates the one who is in his image and likeness, there will be rebellion. There will be misuse of this freedom. And therefore, God, in his love for us, will show his powerlessness in that he will not take away this freedom. And at the same time, in this powerlessness, God's providence continues to reign. God's care and love for the world will not be overcome. That indeed the powerlessness of God, the vulnerability of God, whether it is at the beginning in creation, the incarnation, or Golgotha, does not deprive God of his ultimate power, the power of love, which has the final word over death, over the horror of the extermination of anyone who is innocent. God has the ultimate and the final word over all that is ugly, over all that is horrible, over all that is sinful. And this is where we can grasp, or at least begin to grasp, begin to apprehend how much God loves us to the extent that he makes himself powerless, to the extent that this powerlessness is what is part of the radical change that is to occur in our lives. If indeed we are to be faithful, true disciples of Christ, if we are to be like St. Paul, then we are to lay down all defenses, all the armor, all the arguments, all the polemics, and make ourselves like God, having no power, so that indeed the strength, the glory, and the life of God can shine through us and be offered to the world for its life and salvation. Amen.